Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. New wildfires in Southern California. More than 50,000 people forced to flee or are under evacuation warnings. The Hughes Fire burning north of Los Angeles, and a fire breaking out along the 405 freeway near the Getty Center, forcing evacuations in Bel Air, and that fire is now out. Extreme weather along the Gulf Coast. 10 inches of snow fell in New Orleans, setting a new record. Temperatures below freezing this morning from the Big Easy to Tallahassee, Florida.
The Arctic air causing problems in the north, too. Ice jams in the Allegheny River, the most in 5 years, prompting flood concerns in Pittsburgh.
You ever seen cars covered in ice like that?
Not like that, have you?
In Dearborn, Michigan, a water main break coating everything in ice.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. The Kremlin reacting after President Trump threatened more sanctions for Russia unless it agrees to a peace deal for Ukraine. A Russian spokesman saying the sanctions threat, we don't see any new elements here, end quote. This is ABC News. Police in Nashville trying to find a motive after a teenager opened fire at his high school. One girl killed, a boy hurt. The 17-year-old shooter took his own life. Investigators looking through his social media. Fresh warnings about fake Botox shots. ABC's Andrea Fujihi.
Federal authorities are sounding the alarm about fake Botox after arresting a New York City esthetician accused of injecting clients with counterfeit Botox from China and giving it to clients without a license, even when he knew people were getting ill. Henry Callender says he was a client.
It felt like my body was like having an allergic reaction or something to the Botox in part of my forehead.
Officials say the investigation began after a client complained about vision problems and depth perception when walking, before eventually developing botulism.
At least 15 people got sick last year in similar cases. And in Ireland, bracing for a rarity there, a hurricane. The storm could be the strongest to hit in more than a century. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
It's the Bucks and the Heat. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks flew back today after getting snowed out in New Orleans last night. Their game against the Pelicans to be rescheduled. Tonight, they're at home against the Miami Heat. The Bucks have 13 games left before the All-Star break, 9 of them on the road. At 24-17, can they hold on to that fourth place spot in the East? Damian Lillard.
We got to be there mentally. You know, we got to be engaged. We got to be disciplined, and we got to be together.
NFL former Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson held his first press conference as the new head coach of the Chicago Bears.
I've got tremendous amount of respect for the coaches and the players in this league. Haven't competed against them for the last 6 years. Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, you're talking about two guys that are up for Coach of the Year awards as the season ends here. And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
That's the Bears' Ben Johnson with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Fans of Abbott Elementary, which should include everyone, will be excited to hear that the show has been renewed for a fifth season. News comes on the heels of good winter ratings and a crossover episode with It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia that drew over 8 million viewers. The show is about an underfunded inner-city Philadelphia public school and has great laughs. Abbott Elementary airs Wednesday nights at 7:30 on ABC. Star Wars might be about to get a little more dreamy. Sure, Deadpool and Wolverine director Sean Levy is on board to helm, and people seem happy with the script. trip, but it's the rumors that Ryan Gosling will lead the cast that's gotten everyone excited. If Gosling signs on, the film will start principal photography very soon, according to The Hollywood Reporter. In other Star Wars news, The Mandalorian and Grogu is headed to theaters summer of 2026. Anyone else having trouble keeping these films straight? For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We are going to put a tiny little pause on that warm-up that started yesterday. Today, partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high right around 9 above. Tonight, mostly clear with a low dropping to 5 below. Tomorrow, increasing clouds with a high to 20. We're back to 28 on Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 3 below.
Ooh, let's unplug from the politics and rock some local tunes on Max Inc. This week, we welcome Or Does It Explode and Chicago Blues Hall of Famer Paul Flipowitz. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Thursday morning, January 23rd. It's nice to have you along. We don't do a lot of personal happy birthday shout-outs, but to my stepmom, Cheryl in Eau Claire, happy birthday to you. We love you. It was good to see you. Thank you for being such a good and wonderful part of our family. Coming up this hour, we're going to be talking about Governor Evers' State of the State Address. We'll be doing that with State Senator Jeff Smith from Eau Claire and Assembly Assistant Minority Leader Kaylin Haywood of Milwaukee. We'll talk about the things that the governor had in his address, but also the Republican reaction. It was predictably partisan from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, and so we will ask Representative Haywood and Senator Smith where they think they might find some common ground in terms of crafting a state budget that lays out all the priorities for Wisconsin over the next 2 years. We had a bit of a deep dive into why we cover so much about state government here at Up North News and on Up North News Radio and on Civic Media as well. You can always go back and listen to previous episodes of Up North News Radio and all of our shows by heading over to civicmedia.us. Again, civicmedia.us, where you can find the stations, learn about the programs, listen to back episodes, and learn how to subscribe as a podcast so that you can listen on demand. You can reach us here at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can use the Civic Media app to text us or call us, and you can leave comments on Facebook or YouTube, where we stream the show live every weekday morning from 6 until 8 o'clock. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has a couple of well-earned days off ahead here, so we'll look forward to visiting with her again down the road, but that doesn't stop us from visiting with Rob from Tigerton, who writes to us every morning on Facebook. He writes today, good morning from Tigerton. It's clear and 3 above, the wind chill 10 below. We got an inch of very fluffy snow. I was out at 3 a.m. plowing and salting. Highway 29 and 45 are in good winter shape in western Shawnee County. Some of the county and town roads have slippery spots, especially at intersections. He says, I was looking at weather history, and in January of 1963, Wausau had 20 straight days of below zero temperatures, with three of them 30 below or colder. Like that year, there wasn't much snow on the ground. And yeah, it was brutally cold here. And you're going to get that from time to time. And people go, well, why do you talk about the climate all the time? Well, it's some of the extremes and the way that they go. And temperatures all along the Gulf Coast right now are in the 20s or low 30s. And so they can't even melt the snow that fell there the other day. The Milwaukee Bucks game in New Orleans last night was postponed because of a snowstorm in New Orleans. And that's really all we had for sports to talk about. So there's your little bit of sports, a little bit of weather as well. And a reminder that if you'd like to sign up for our daily newsletter, head up over to upnorthnewswi.com. Again, upnorthnewswi.com. Don't forget that WI. Hit subscribe up in the top banner, and you can be a part of what Christina Laurie puts together every morning for all kinds of news, including a story today looking inside of Epic Medical Systems, the medical record software giant that's based in the Madison area. There's also a story about the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. It was mentioned last night by Governor Evers in his State of the State address. What it is, the many ways that that line is more accessible than ever for anybody that thinks they may be in a position to harm themselves or others potentially. And also, she's got a story on the 17 biggest concerts coming to Wisconsin in 2025 so far. There's already a good number of shows that are booked, so if you're waiting for warmer weather and live music, you can catch that over on our website and at the newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, at 7-Eleven, I want to bring in Mark Rice now from the nonprofit Wisdom, and it's a group that's dedicated to several different ideas, one of them being immigrant rights. The other is about nature. The other is about lockdowns, ending detrimental lockdowns, improving prison connections, connecting families better. It's something that Mark Rice has organized for tirelessly and joins us as a Wisdom campaign coordinator today. Mark Rice, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm good. And you?
Good, good. It's nice to have you here today. We were waiting to see, you know, exactly whether there was much said from the governor in his State of the State address. But obviously, the more important step is coming up, and that would be what's in the state budget bill and what this legislature passes. And so we'll get in a moment to what you hope to see in the budget or in separate legislation. But let's start with a little bit of background first about Wisdom or yourself and the whole issue of why there is such an organized campaign to improve prison conditions in Wisconsin.
Sure. The state of Wisconsin forced me to spend a few years in the state prison system back in the late 90s. And went in when I was 19 years old, got out when I was 21 years old. And when I got out, I was under the supervision of the Department of Corrections for several years. So I became very familiar with several of the issues that I work on today. In 2011, Wisdom launched a campaign called the 11 by 15 campaign. That campaign aimed to cut Wisconsin's prison population in half to 11,000 by the end of 2015. And we're continuing that on now under the name of Transformational Justice. One of our priorities is to advance racial justice in Wisconsin. We're still working to cut the state's prison population in half. We also aim to dramatically cut the number of people under supervision in the state of Wisconsin. Many people are under the supervision of the Department of Corrections who are out in the community. We aim to advance narratives that humanize people who've gone through the system. And we also have some rights restoration campaigns. We aim to end perpetual punishments for people with conviction records. And this campaign came out. We know that Minnesota already incarcerates people at half the rate that Wisconsin does. Minnesota has half as many people in their prison system, and Minnesota and Wisconsin are very similar. And so that was one of the ideas that was lifted up during the 11 by 15 campaign, and we still continue that on today. We already know that it's being done in Minnesota. It's being done even in some of the more Republican-leaning states like Texas has actually closed prisons, expanded treatment alternatives to incarceration, has reduced the number of people going back to prison for what we call technical violations or convictionless revocations. People are out in the community but have violated some sort of rule of supervision. So those are the types of common sense changes that Wisconsin can also benefit from.
Do you feel like in some ways the state and the country are still enduring, I don't know if hangover is the right word, the 1994 crime bill? Long before Drill Baby Drill, there was Build Baby Build, where it was just building prisons for the sake of warehousing. People thought they were being tough on crime, but it feels more like they've caused problems that still ripple through to this day.
Absolutely. The 1994 crime bill had a devastating impact, particularly on Wisconsin. It gave states the incentive to push through harsh sentencing laws like Truth in Sentencing Wisconsin. Wisconsin pushed through one of the harshest truth in sentencing laws in the nation. And really in Wisconsin, mass supervision drives mass incarceration. Truth in Sentencing really extended community supervision sentences. And then Wisconsin is one of the worst states when it comes to reincarcerating people for rule violations, people who are out under supervision. So people are being sent back in many situations for minor allegations that do not involve serious new convictions. There are about 3,000 people being sent back to prison for convictionless revocations each year. And really, there's a consensus nationwide that the nation went too far. So we saw President Biden utilizing his authority to commute sentences, to pardon sentences to people gone through the system. Governor Evers has started, he's done some pardons, but he has not yet started to use his commutation power, which would reduce the prison population. He can actually go back and address excessive sentencing and utilize that commutation power. That's one of the central issues that WISDOM has been working on. So with or without legislation, Governor Evers can certainly reduce the prison population by going back and looking at it from a racial justice perspective, an economic justice perspective. Wisconsin detains Black people and Indigenous people at one of the highest rates in the country. We know that Black and Brown and Indigenous people are highly disproportionately impacted by the prison system in Wisconsin. Also, poor people are disproportionately impacted. So certainly there's a role that Governor Evers plays in that. And also legislative changes needed, particularly through the state budget, as you're saying. And so that's a start when we can, we have a huge opportunity coming up with the state budget to start to turn things around in Wisconsin.
Well, and that takes me back to this notion again for folks who are saying, well, you know, then they shouldn't have committed the crime, and they think that harsh sentencing and prison warehousing will have this kind of effect, much like they say about capital punishment. Well, you know, if you send this tough on crime message, it'll stop or prevent crime. It did not, which gets us into the whole notion of whether it's restorative justice or other alternatives to incarceration. Are those kinds of things proven to do more to reduce crime and reduce recidivism?
Absolutely. We know that right now it's really time to reimagine how Wisconsin can create safer, stronger, and healthier communities. WISDOM right now, one of our priority campaigns is what we call the Justice Reinvestment Campaign. So number one, we have four main demands with that campaign. Number one, no new prisons. So Wisconsin does not need to build a new prison. There's discussion about closing Green Bay Correctional Institution, closing Waupun Correctional Institution, but some want to build a new prison. And certainly there's no need to build a new prison in Wisconsin. Wisconsin can reduce the prison population in half by pushing forward common sense decarceration policies. Wisconsin can increase treatment alternatives to incarceration on the front end. There's an earned release program for people who are currently incarcerated that would enable them to get out early by participating in treatment programming. On the back end, many people are being sent back for technical violations. 3,000 people each year are going back with no new convictions. So just simply by starting to move forward some of those common sense decarceration policies, the prison population could be cut in half. And then that enables Wisconsin to reallocate resources back into the communities that have been most harmed by incarceration. So instead of utilizing punitive measures as a response to many of these problems, Wisconsin can start to address the root causes of the problems. Policymakers can then invest in living wage jobs, in safe, affordable housing, in violence prevention programs, treatment programs.
So many ways that this is smarter spending. Can you hang around till after the break? We'll get another question or two in.
Absolutely.
All right. We're talking with Mark Rice from WISDOM, and we'll continue our questions right after this break. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While President Donald Trump's January 6 pardons and executive orders have dominated the news, state legislatures have been hard at work on both pro-voter and anti-voter legislation. Democracy legislation tracker Voting Rights Lab counts 432 election bills pending in 32 states, with 100 of those bills restricting voter access, while 205 expand it. The Wisconsin Senate and Assembly have approved Senate Joint Resolution 2, which would put a proposed voter ID constitutional amendment before voters in November. A Pew Research survey found 81% of Americans support a requirement for government-issued ID to vote, despite its impact on the poor, disabled, and elderly. A New York Senate committee moved three pro-voter bills forward, authorizing county voting centers in addition to local precincts and requiring the state to join the Electronic Registration Information Center, or ERIC, to help keep its voter rolls clean. Another bill would criminalize spreading misleading election information intended to suppress the vote. An Arizona Senate committee endorsed SB 1011, making changes to mail-in early voting rules, including when and where ballots may be returned. The Virginia House approved a constitutional amendment to automatically restore rights to people formerly incarcerated for felonies. We'll be following all these bills in the months to come. We've linked the Voting Rights Lab tracker at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio. That's Ray Charles, part of the first class of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that was introduced, unveiled on this day in history back in 1986. This is Up North News Radio at 7:22, and we are talking to Mark Rice from the group Wisdom. We've been talking about alternatives to incarceration and prison reform, and Mark is kind enough to stick around for a couple of extra minutes here because we were just talking about the ways that these things save money for taxpayers as well as are better for society at large. If you can keep people from committing new crimes, if you can get them the mental health resources that they need. There were a couple of things mentioned in the State of the State address that I wanted to ask you about as well, Mark. There was the whole notion of an Office of Violence Prevention that can coordinate more activities in the community that can get at the root causes of crime. He also talked about access to guns, not just for people who would commit crimes and hurt others, but potentially harm themselves, and also bringing back the 48-hour waiting period before you can buy a handgun. Of those things there, do you hear things that would be net positives for the work that Wisdom is trying to do in the communities?
Certainly, violence prevention is a priority for us. So the central aim of the campaign is to build safer, stronger, and healthier communities. And I believe there are opportunities with violence prevention programs to really address some of those root causes of crime. And I am concerned about law enforcement being overly involved. And my hope is that a more punitive approach is not utilized. And so I think implementation is going to be key, but there's certainly opportunities. So there's been in Madison and Milwaukee, there's a history there of successfully utilizing violence prevention programs to reduce violent crime. Racine has been doing some good work recently as well. So there's a history there. Many directly impacted people have been involved. People have been directly impacted by violence, directly impacted by incarceration, who are on the ground, really have experience in those communities. And so I feel really positively if it's led by people who are most impacted by those issues on the ground, and if it's really focused on addressing root causes rather than moving forward punitive measures to deal with the problems, then I am optimistic about that.
You have been quoted extensively by reporting done in the Wisconsin Examiner as part of their criminal justice project, which aims to shine a light on incarceration, law enforcement, and criminal justice issues. And one of the more recent topics that you've talked about is third-party review of the state's prison system. And it's been pretty well documented, some of the issues with solitary confinement and punitive pricing for phone calls, certainly access to mental health, to climate, not such harsh climate conditions. Where do you feel like the state is on this third-party review and its ability to make some net positive changes for incarceration in Wisconsin?
Certainly getting independent prison oversight in place is a priority for WISDOM in this legislative session. We've been working with an organization called Ladies of SCI, who have loved ones who are currently incarcerated in the Wisconsin state prison system. And Wisconsin has brought in a consulting firm, Falcon. Rick Ramish is actually a part of that, who was the executive director of the Colorado Department of Corrections. And while he was in that position, he actually ended long-term solitary confinement in Colorado prisons. We want Wisconsin to follow that and end long-term solitary confinement. We know that solitary confinement is torture. The United Nations considers spending more than 15 consecutive days in solitary confinement to be torture. And those of us who have experienced it, we know that solitary confinement is torture, has a devastating impact on the mental health of individuals. And so that needs to be a priority. But also, we're skeptical. So we've worked with the Department of Corrections in the past on several studies. I've been a part of a few studies that focused on ending excessive revocations in Wisconsin. And the recommendations were presented to the Department of Corrections, and the vast majority of the recommendations were never implemented. So they were presented with the best practices in the field. We partnered with Columbia University Justice Lab in New York City with some of the nation's leading researchers and community corrections practitioners, brought those recommendations to Secretary Carr. Unfortunately, most of those recommendations were never implemented. And if they were, they were not continued. There was then a long-term sustainable commitment to that. Previously, we partnered with Human Impact Partners to do a health impact assessment on excessive revocations. Those recommendations from that study never implemented. So we really need this independent oversight to hold the Department of Corrections accountable, because there's a history of them not really following through with the recommendations and best practices, even when they're presented with that. So that's really crucial. And there's a humanitarian crisis within the Wisconsin prison system right now. There's overcrowding in the system. The population's going up. There's a humanitarian crisis, particularly in older prisons that are falling apart. We have some of the most inhumane prisons in the United States, like Green Bay Correctional Institution, Waupun Correctional Institution, Milwaukee Secure Detention Facility in Milwaukee. And we need to immediately depopulate those prisons. People have been dying. People have not been able to receive adequate access to healthcare. So we need to extend that conversation about mental health to within prisons and people returning home from prison. So certainly the focus in the governor's State of the State address, certainly we support the expansion of mental health services for youth. But I feel like there must be a broader conversation. That's one of the concerns with all of the issue task forces of WISDOM right now. A central concern of all of our task forces has been mental health. So it's not just, we can't just focus on one population, but have to focus on the mental health of everyone. There's about 1 million people in the state of Wisconsin with a conviction or arrest record. There's 23,000 people incarcerated, nearly 23,000 people currently incarcerated in the state of Wisconsin prison system. Many of them are in solitary confinement. So we really, there's had been the long-term lockdowns. So the conditions of confinement really has to be a priority as well, but also there must be a focus on reducing the prison population, starting to use some of those common sense measures. And the state budget is an opportunity. So we certainly need an increase in the state's treatment alternatives and diversions program. That's going to be a priority moving forward. There needs to be an increase in funding for the earned release program within Wisconsin prisons. Those are immediate measures that Wisconsin could take to get people connected to community-based services, community-based healthcare, mental health care, and to get them that treatment that they need in community, not within the prison system. We know that prisons can often exacerbate the problems that people already have, make problems worse. So it's really about prevention. And the research shows that there's a lot of research behind that treatment alternatives and diversions program that shows it's really going to improve public health and also save money.
Good. Let me Let me share a comment on Facebook from Ardith, who says, I'm watching Mark Rice and thinking of the many stories he has to tell about the state's broken prison system. I admire him for fighting to escape his past and for helping to fix the system. I'd like to hear more of his ideas. Please invite him back. Consider that to be done because we've run out of time here. Mark, thank you. Please do come back and help us follow the progress of this legislature. Have a great day.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. We'll talk to two state lawmakers about the State of the State address coming up right after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin's agriculture sector accounts for almost 10% of the state's total employment. We heard that this week at the Wisconsin Agriculture Outlook Forum. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Thursday, here with Assembly Agriculture Chair Travis Tranel. He said one of the takeaways from the forum for him as both a state representative and a farmer is that the economic impact of agriculture goes beyond rural Wisconsin.
A lot of that manufacturing takes place in more urban areas. And sometimes I think we forget that. And why I think that's important is a lot of times I think legislators that are from more urban areas kind of look at rural Wisconsin and they think, well, what do they need now? What are they going to ask for today? And the reality is we really are codependent, because if we stop shipping them goods from rural Wisconsin, there are going to be a lot of people that live in urban areas that are going to be out of work. And I thought it was good to hear that.
Catching up with the Representative Travis Tranel after the Wisconsin Agriculture Outlook Forum. He chairs the Assembly Agriculture Committee. We'll take a look at more agribusiness news next.
Allie Streshinsky, a passionate dairy farmer and member of the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin Board of Directors, is part of the next generation shaping the future of Wisconsin dairy. She shares insights on how programs like Dairy Checkoff have supported the industry's growth nationwide.
It's been a great experience as a next generation dairy farmer who started after Checkoff was already in place. I have taken for granted the impact on production innovation and building the Wisconsin cheese identity over the past 40 years. Checkoff has allowed Wisconsin cheese to be sold nationwide, and it can be found in 99% of grocery stores. I've been lucky to gain a front row seat to these programs that are designed to strengthen relationships with both bulk buyers and individual consumers. These programs help to coordinate things like in-store demonstrations, digital ads, in-store sales material, and both earned and free media. And this all encourages consumers to look for that Proudly Wisconsin label.
Learn more about how your Dairy Checkoff dollars are utilized at wisconsindairy.org.
Welcome back on a Thursday. The Dairy Business Association has released its priorities for the upcoming legislative session, one of the first agricultural groups to do so. Their list focuses on attracting a skilled workforce to Wisconsin, supporting clean water initiatives, and improving transportation infrastructure. We have the whole list at MidwestFarmReport.com. In other agribusiness news today, registration is open for the 2025 Upper Midwest Hazelnut Growers Conference. This year, the conference is at the Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells, March 7th and 8th. This is your chance to get acquainted with a valuable crop. Sessions will cover everything from planting to pruning and from harvesting to marketing. Learn more at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We are going to put a tiny little pause on that warm-up that started yesterday. Today, partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high right around 9 above. Tonight, mostly clear with a low dropping to 5 below. Tomorrow, increasing clouds with a high to 20. We're back to 28 on Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, 4 below zero.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, Earl Ingram will join as we talk with Attorney General Josh Call in the Wisconsin lawsuit against the administration. Also, is the DNC prepared for what's next? Bill Press has thoughts. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Robin Zander of Cheap Trick turning 72 today, the pride of Beloit. You can stay up to date on our unabashedly Wisconsin news by signing up for our newsletter. It's over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top page and make me look good, because that's a big part of what we do here is promoting our newsletter, getting subscribers, and getting you to know more about what we do here at Up North News. I was just looking at a news alert here, and I don't have any details, but just enough to share that CNN has announced that they are going to lay off 200 people in their traditional television roles, but they're then going to hire about 200 people in new digital roles, meaning more about streaming and more across the web and less about their traditional TV channel. So it's not a wash. The network will still be the worse off for not having experienced broadcast journalists on board. So talking about the state of the state, we are hoping to hear from State Senator Jeff Smith in just a bit. I do know that we have State Representative Kalen Haywood, the Assembly Assistant Minority Leader. I believe he's with us as well. Representative Haywood, are you with us this morning?
Good morning. Yes, I am. How are you?
There you are. Well, I'm great, especially since you're a step ahead of Senator Smith, who, now Jeff and I go back, you know, 30-some years. So I recall when Jeff was in the Assembly, and he would be on time for things. Now he's a senator, and now he's a big deal. And you know how those senators are.
The
former senator. Yeah, we just, the senitude never goes away. Appreciate you being here to talk a bit about the state of the state and also the Republican response to it. So can I just kind of get your 30,000-foot view of what you took away from the governor's remarks?
Yeah, I've seen the governor give his seventh state of the state now. And last night I was proud, not just as a state rep and as a colleague, but as a Wisconsinite. The things that the governor talked about in the state address were things that we as legislative Democrats, we heard over the last year, as the years, we knocked thousands of doors. And one thing that stood out, no matter if you were in a blue district, a red district, or a purple district, is folks want to talk about the rising costs. And last night, I think folks have told us about how expensive things were, how hard it was to meet everyday needs and put food on the table. And I think last night, Governor Evers acknowledged that plan and acknowledged that struggle. And what was important is, like, Governor Evers did not just have a concept of what a plan could be. He laid out what a clear plan could be to address the issue. Whether that was reducing childcare costs or providing healthy school meals for our children in school, lowering prescription drug costs so folks aren't picking between putting food on the table and having life-saving medication. Governor Evers laid out a clear plan of what it means to address these core kitchen table issues. I was really proud of the governor, as I am every year when he gives a state of the state, and also just looking at our state's financial situation. I think due to the leadership of Governor Evers and legislative Democrats, our state's one of the best financial situations has been in state history. So just all in all, last night, we know we have work to do in Wisconsin for sure to get things done for the people. But I think last night I was proud to see Governor Evers highlight the positive things that have happened and that we can do if we work together.
I have to say, and this is admittedly, this is very inside baseball, but I like to take people behind the curtain now and then. To me, was watching Republicans react when the governor talked about how he signed tax cuts into place, and Republicans want to say, hey, wait, where those were our tax cuts. Well, what they're not saying is, well, Governor Evers had to veto the parts of it where you wanted to give so much more to the very wealthy. So while that final budget may not have attracted, you know, all of the Democratic votes, it was a Democratic governor's veto pen that actually right-sized those tax cuts. And so I feel like everybody can take a little bit of credit for making sure that there was a, you know, a more proper tax cut out there. Now you have to turn your attention to having a $4 billion surplus. And there are a lot of people that are going to say, hey, wait, you know, $2 billion should go here and $2 billion should go to tax cuts or $2 billion should go to schools. And pretty soon it's all gone. Now, we're not going to settle the whole thing right here. But what I've said pretty consistently is, you know, as somebody who was a Democratic senator, I would concede the notion of let's start with how much of that $4 billion could go toward a middle-class tax cut, a right-sized middle-class tax cut, especially maybe property taxes, as Leader Neubauer told us a week or two ago here, and Senator Hesselbein as well. And then we can address how much should be invested into, you know, education and safety programs and everything else. But again, that's my view from the outside. But what are your feelings on maybe the first order of business is to figure out the tax cut that kind of attracts Republicans, and then you can kind of go on with all the rest of the state budget?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, the fact that our state has a state surplus is putting us in a phenomenal situation. There are some states around this country, as I'm sure you are aware, who operate in deficit every year. We in Wisconsin have a strong economy, a strong budget, and we have a chance with the multi-billion-dollar surplus to really invest it back in the people. And I think that there's bipartisan support for a tax cut, but it's about how that tax cut looks. And I think you mentioned earlier the Republican tax cut proposed last session was giving the biggest portion of that tax cut to some of the ultra-wealthy and wealthiest folks in Wisconsin and not focusing enough on the middle and lower classes and the folks who really need that tax cut, who will feel that impact and, again, be able to put food on the table. So I think that when you look at our surplus now, I think that looking at how we can provide some tax relief for our residents, whether that be through some of the taxes they pay through income tax, but also property taxes high. I live in a district. I live near my part. I represent downtown Milwaukee and parts of the north side near downtown. And property taxes are insane. I mean, that's literally affecting residents of all kinds. That's affecting how we attract young families into Wisconsin and into cities like Milwaukee, but also affecting our residents who are retired, who have done public service and are now on fixed incomes and are struggling to meet the rising costs. So I think that our state budget not only provides opportunities, but that state surplus that Republicans refuse to spend and refuse to work with us on how to get that done and deliver it back to people through significant investments is an opportunity for us to do right by the people of Wisconsin. And every day our Republican colleagues push back and want to be inactive and not move forward on that. They're doing a disservice to the folks we represent.
They do. And Assembly Speaker Voss obviously is trying to keep his block together and not to have any defections. But as we know, with newer maps, fairer maps, you're going to have Republicans in close districts. I'm going to pick on one in particular. Benjamin Franklin is the new representative in the 88th district. Why am I singling him out? Because it was the closest assembly race in the state. He defeated Christy Welch by just 221 votes out of 34,000 votes that were cast. So, you know, nobody can tell me there isn't room for a few of these Republicans to maybe put some separation between themselves and Speaker Voss, go back to the 88th district and say, you know, while my other Republican friends didn't want to do anything, we got this much done. To what degree do you share that optimism that you're going to have some of your Republican colleagues join you in, you know, making some of these proposals more bipartisan?
Yeah, I'm always optimistic. That's what keeps me going in this job. With the numbers being close and us being at 45 seats in the legislature and our Senate colleagues also gaining seats as well in the Senate, now is the time. We are in true divided government, but now is the time to work together. Both sides need to work together to get this done. And although that, you know, you hear Republicans talk about us having close seats, Republicans also have really close seats. And you be late, we're not for us. So hope that our folks who are in these close seats that see those numbers and see that how people responded, but they really pay attention to those numbers and they figure out how to come to the table and work together. If you want to be successful in this job, if you want to maintain that seat, or if you want to make sure you're representing the folks truly that you were elected to serve, you will come to the table and work together. So I'm optimistic. I'm imploring my colleagues to come work together and work across the aisle as we do as Democrats all the time to get stuff done. We got to serve all Wisconsinites, and that comes from working together and coming to the table. So I'm optimistic. I hope so. I'm not sure how many folks are going to be willing to break the status quo and break rank, but it's time for it to happen now. The people of Wisconsin want it to happen now.
This next topic is admittedly an emotional one for a lot of legislators. It clearly was emotional for the governor last night, and I knew former State Representative Jonathan Brostoff well years ago as well. His death from suicide, of course, a tremendous tragedy. As somebody who he pointed out himself, that rapid access to guns by those who are severely depressed is not a good thing, and it should be addressed. And yet, after those heartfelt remarks, after putting a face on it by one of their own colleagues, you heard Speaker Voss call it a cheap political stunt, which tells me it's impossible to humanize anything for Speaker Voss to get him to understand the humanity of a problem. So his offensive remark to Governor Evers, trying to draw the connection as to why some policies would be good ideas, does not give me a lot of optimism that something can get passed in this session. But I wonder if you might be able to help that and tell me that you think maybe there will be any kind of progress on whether it's firearm access, waiting periods, at the very least red flag laws that like 80 to 90% of Wisconsinites support.
Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, the fact that the speaker would even suggest that the governor would use the unfortunate passing of our former colleague, our friend, Jay Brown, as a political stunt is insane. And knowing Jay Brown, working with Jay Brown, the laws that were put forth, the proposals that were put forth by Governor Evers, I know he'd be in support of. He would want folks to keep themselves safe. That's one thing he always stood for, is fighting for everyone and their prosperity. I thought if there was nothing else in the budget address the state address that Republicans could have got behind and supported, I thought that would be one. But it is my hope that although people say things in the media and there's political grandstanding that happens, and posturing that happens, I still feel like folks have to come to the table. Like read the writing on the wall. You have to come to the table and work together, or just, things won't work out in the future for you. It's just the people of Wisconsin want to see us work together. They are so sick and tired of partisan gridlock. And so I hope that as we knock doors, I hope they hopefully knock doors as well. And they met with Wisconsinites who told them that they want to see these things happen. And Wisconsinites are sick and tired of the excuse of not being able to get nothing done because of partisan politics. But they want stuff to get done.
They do. They do get it. And I appreciate you answering all these questions, as assistant minority leader in the state assembly. So let me take a moment just to ask from a personal standpoint, representing your district and your everything you've done to be in the assembly. Is there anything else that is a personal priority for you in this session, either in the budget or as separate legislation that is going to motivate you over the next few months?
Yeah, I think my theme for the year is keeping folks safe. And that's through public safety, making sure that in Milwaukee or around the state as a whole, residents are safe, whether that's from gun violence or reckless driving. But make sure no matter where you are in the state, especially in Milwaukee, that you can walk to the grocery store, walk to the doctor, walk to church, walk to school, and be safe in your communities. That's priority one. But also be safe economically, making sure my residents can put food on the table. I always talk about how I represent a tale of two cities. I have downtown Milwaukee, where some CEOs make seven figures, and I have parts of the city where some residents really make the minimum wage, and they work multiple jobs to make ends meet. So there's not economic safety and security in that. And we want to make sure we ensure folks have economic safety and security. Make sure they put food on the table. Again, not picking between putting food on the table and life-saving prescription drugs, or putting food on the table and paying the energy bill, or putting food on the table and anything else that needs to get done. Making sure folks have the economic prosperity and security to feel safe at home and in their communities. So both physical safety and economic safety, I think, for me are two priorities, and also making sure that we bridge and marry the tale of two cities. My district is a representation of Wisconsin. We have some very wealthy Wisconsinites, and we have Wisconsinites all across the state who are working, again, minimum wage jobs to make ends meet. So we got to figure out how to not only bridge the tale of two cities, but the tale of two states. And so for me, that is the goal of this session. And I'm sure that my colleagues on the Democratic side, and hopefully my colleagues on the Republican side, can see that and help make that happen.
It was a focus of mine as somebody who has lived in Milwaukee, who has lived in Rice Lake, is to get folks to understand that you guys have way more in common, than you know, and that you should have legislators working toward that. Glad to hear you're one of them. State Representative Kaylin Haywood, Assistant Minority Leader. Thank you so much for joining us. Looking forward to checking in with the rest of your colleagues throughout the session. Have a great day.
Thank you, too.
All right. When we come back, Luke Mathers will be along as well to tell us what to expect all along the Civic Media Radio Network. And just a few other closing words about the state of the state. The governor said this is the year of the kid. And the things that are in there should be slam dunks for anybody that wants to provide a good environment for our kids. If you can't, what are you doing? What are you earning that check for? We'll talk more about that in the coming days, but Luke Mathers is coming up next.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
The late Anita Pointer of the Pointer Sisters was born this day in 1948, singing... There's the Pointer Sisters. Anita was sometimes with them, sometimes not. This was a Pointer Sisters hit, "He's So Shy." Words never used to describe Luke Mathers, the handsome and capable Luke Mathers. Did I get that right, Greg?
You did. The very handsome and capable Luke Mathers.
There you go. And Aurora joining us as well.
Yeah, she's on her little chair. She hasn't been too far away these last couple days.
What kind of breed is Aurora?
She is a red merle for Australian shepherds. So she mini Australian shepherd, but then a red merle.
Oh, didn't know that. Good day, Aurora. Good day, little puppy. All right.
See, that's why sometimes she doesn't pay attention. You know, she speaks a different language.
Yeah, she just doesn't. She's not picking up on your dialect. That's all.
Yeah, well, that's it.
All right. Pat, I have a really quick question about the song we're playing from the Pointer Sisters, "He's So Shy." Yeah. Is it too 80s to be yacht rock? I feel like if you took out the synth and put in something else, it would be peak yacht rock.
Actually, I would put it in there. Yes, okay. I'll allow it.
Thank you, Captain. Thank you, Captain.
As one of the arbiters of what is and is not yacht rock, exactly. Mr. Mathers, as our one of our resident big Milwaukee Bucks fans, along with Dan Schaefer and Joseph Pecky, I say again, tongue in cheek, it just blows me away. Did you ever think a Bucks game would be canceled by a snowstorm in New Orleans?
Nope. No, it was not on my 2025 bingo card. I knew it was snowing in the South. I didn't know, I guess, until that news came across yesterday, truly how much snow was going along kind of the Gulf Coast down there, the Gulf of Mexico coast, mm-hmm. Down there. But the amount of snow that New Orleans got would still probably be a questionable amount of snow for Milwaukee. I don't think it would have canceled the game if we were the hosts of it. But
no, but 5 to 8 inches.
Yeah,
you know that's a bit to go through anyway. Now go to a place with no sandy trucks, no salt trucks, no plows. There was some great video of, and I don't know what city it was from, but it was municipal workers in the back of a city pickup truck sitting on the tailgate, slowly going down the road with like scoops of salt and just manually shaking the salt onto the road. Not very effectively, because Lord knows they're not practiced at it. But, I mean, at that rate, they probably did 2 streets
you gotta
before
throw the
snow
salt
came.
Just like you throw the beads. Come on. Like there's transferable aspects. So you just got to get out there and be tossing the salt around.
And when you throw the salt, people like put their jackets on. They're like, that's cold.
Yes. Yes.
I think 5 to 8 inches in Wisconsin would not cancel the game. I think it definitely would make people say, you know what? The tickets aren't that great. We didn't spend a lot of money. I'll stay home tonight.
Especially the season ticket holders. Yeah. Like the season ticket holders, I'm sure are like, do I want to brave the elements? But I mean, it is fascinating to see that we are having these more and more extreme weather conditions.
Isn't
for areas around the country. And folks are just like, well, I guess this is the new normal without connecting the dots. That's the strange part. But a snowball fight in Bourbon Street sounds like kind of a lot of fun.
I feel like you gotta take those snowball, pour some booze on it, then throw it at someone.
Just a hurricane coming, like a frozen hurricane. Yeah. There you go.
We call this a snowstorm.
I guess I'm not looking at any kind of a live feed right now, but I guess the Oscar nominations are coming out right about now. And so I mentioned the other day seeing Conclave, which I'm sure is going to be up for some Oscar nods. Are you an Oscar fan, or have you reached the point like us where you go, I don't know half these movies anymore?
I can't even remember what movies all came out last year, let alone which ones are good enough to be up for awards. So I'm going to leave that expertise to Pete Schwabba and the folks at Nightlight. And I'm sure Pete's going to have an excellent, excellent take on what will come out for Oscars. But to me, I'm on the side of the argument that Marvel is great. I'm looking forward to that's
Captain
my
America?
When I go to the movies, that's what I like to go see. So I'm going to go see Brave New World shortly after it comes out in the middle of February. Daredevil Reborn is coming Disney Plus in the beginning of March. I've watched the trailer probably half a dozen or so times already, just because it's so exciting that Charlie Cox is back as Matt Murdock. But that's kind of how I don't need the Oscar buzz films. I just want to see a really good story through superheroes when I go for my entertainment.
I'm kind of like Aurora is right now, just looking around the room going, I don't know any of this Marvel stuff that you're talking about. But I don't mean to end on a serious note, but I have to, because I have not mentioned meteorologist Sam Cuffell being let go at CBS 58 in Milwaukee for properly calling out Elon Musk for making a Nazi salute. And I'm not here to tell the civic media bosses how to spend their money, but, you know, If Sam Cuffell's on the market, add her to the team. Somebody's going to add her to the team right away, because they understand right versus wrong. And I'm just here to say that I stand with Sam, along with a whole lot of people, that nobody should be getting fired for calling out a Nazi salute. That seems kind of basic to me.
Yeah, and it's interesting that the contingent of folks out there that are free speech and let's make sure that everybody can say what they want to say until, you criticize my favorite billionaire, fine. We're going to tattle on you to your employers. And ultimately, Sam got fired because somebody decided to go tattle.
Yeah.
And that tattletale knows who he is.
Yes. One of the ultimate snowflakes that's out there. So I just wanted to get that.
Oh, I need to know more now.
Right. Oh, go read the Journal Sentinel story. It's pretty easy to find out who the big tattletale is.
Yes. Mr. Mathers, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Pat.
All right. And Greg Bach is back in 2 hours for Matt and Air on Air along with Jane Matt and Air. So join us for that. Our usual Friday panel joins us tomorrow for our weekend review. So come around for that. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great Thursday. See you tomorrow morning up north.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, Omar the Pharmacist makes his long-awaited return, and we'll talk about how we can improve your health in spite of the cold weather.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
The 2025 Wisconsin football schedule is here, and you should be too. Season tickets are on sale now, so don't miss your chance to jump around at Camp Randall Stadium this fall. Last year, 6 of 7 home games were sellouts, proof that there's nothing like game day with the Badgers. Secure your spot for marquee matchups against Ohio State, Washington, and Iowa, and enjoy the best value to see Wisconsin football in action. For more information and to get your season tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. New wildfires in Southern California. The Hughes Fire now burning north of Los Angeles. Kyle Argosino lives in Van Nuys.
Seeing this right now, it's just eerie, like seeing all the houses being surrounded by the fires, like, it's crazy.
More than 50,000 people forced to flee or are under evacuation orders. Another wildfire burning near the Getty Center and forcing evacuations in Bel Air has been put out. The Gulf Coast waking up to below freezing temperatures this morning after record snow this week. Portions of Interstate 10 in Louisiana and Florida remain closed due to snow cover this morning. In a Seattle court today, the first challenge to President Trump's executive order blocking birthright citizenship protected by the 14th Amendment in the Constitution. The Trump administration seeking to interpret the amendment to argue that not all children born in the U.S. should be granted citizenship. And this hour, Hollywood reveals the Oscar nominees. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.